Hi, my name is Jeff Pagano, and thanks for tuning into the Harpin and Rugby podcast. HarpinandRugby.net is an unofficial fan site for Leinster and Ireland rugby, with write-ups every Monday after matches and regular coverage of the latest news and opinion via Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and of course this pod. If you haven't already, please subscribe. We're on Apple Podcasts as well as a host of other platforms. We'll call them warm-up matches, pre-season matches, or even irregular season matches, but those interpros are already behind us, and now it's time to look forward to some knockout rugby, and for the third season in a row, Leinster meet our old friends from down the N7 in the Pro 14 semi-final, and although it'll be in a deserted Aviva Stadium as opposed to a hopping RDS, it still promises to be a classic. In the latest from our new series of Opposition View chats, I had Munster fan Michelle Tobin back in the pod to look at how she feels their chances are of getting the better of us this time around. So without any further ado, here's how we got on. Now it's time for our back and forward chat, and joining me this week to offer an opposition view from Munster ahead of Friday's Pro 14 semi-final, making her third appearance on the pod and her second in just 3 weeks, a warm welcome back to Michelle Tobin.
How's it going? It's good to be back, and I am definitely getting a feeling of deja vu about this.
It's deja vu all over again. I know, it's mad, but I won't say we expected it the last time we chatted, because things could have gone much differently, but it's good to be chatting about it anyway, whatever about the turnaround times and stuff. It's been on the short side, I think you'll agree.
Yeah, those round ball sports getting in our way again.
I know, the cheek of them. But so basically you were on a couple of weeks ago. We were talking before the Pro 14 match, which is, you know, and a lot of that was we were just so happy to have rugby back. It didn't, you know, it was like we're all great and it's all looking forward to it and stuff. But because it was Leinster Munster as well, though, there's always that bit of an edge to it. And of course, we had the match itself, how it transpired. So why don't we start there and offer a few thoughts about how you thought the match went, not just the result, but overall performance wise for Munster.
Well, I suppose the big thing that stands out, before a game, I always obviously hope for a win, but equally important, or sometimes even more important, it's that there are no major injuries. And I mean, talk about killer blow after killer blow. It broke my heart. Not the scoreline, but those injuries, the long-term prognosis. That's what was depressing after the game, not the result, because, you know, it could have been a draw, it could have been a win. It was a really close contest, which is something that we haven't necessarily had for a few times we've met Leinster. But those injuries were just heartbreaking.
Especially coming so early, like, I mean, it was, and those two players in particular in quick succession, I mean, on a day when ball carrying was going to be key for you, to lose both Kilcoyne and Snyman, and the Snyman as well, just the manner it happened. I mean, he just stole a big line out for you, and I can't even imagine how you must have felt.
It was such an epic steal. I mean, he is a giant anyway, but he seemed to stretch over almost half the pitch.
Yeah.
But obviously, when someone puts their body out of position so badly, it is very hard for anyone to ground someone who's already so tall. You know, you've got the melee of players after the line out. It was just difficult for everyone, and we saw something similar happened on Sunday with Peter O'Mahony against Connacht. But luckily, while he seemed to be pretty badly knocked when he was on the ground, but Peter being Peter, popped up and played the rest of the game, or close to the rest of the game, and was fine. But it was certainly worrying, because, you know, in my mind and in a lot of people, it's like, okay, one of the key things that needs to be addressed is safety in the line-out. And then to see something not totally dissimilar happen again on Sunday was a little bit scary. But again, it's the competitive nature of the players to put their bodies on the line and to take those extra inches or reach further or contort their bodies in different ways, which makes it really difficult for the lifters to support them on the way down.
Yeah, oh, definitely. I mean, it's probably the loose head prop front row union thing in me to defend the lifters. But I mean, it is difficult, when more difficult when you're the defensive team, because you don't obviously, you're not 100% sure where the ball is going to go. So you're the forwards you're lifting is going to be jumping at a different angle to try to get in the way of something. It's a whole different concept. So bringing him down is never going to be easy, because he might have to adjust mid jump, which is exactly what happened in those two cases. And like you say, Peter being Peter, was a bit luckier in the way he came down. But it's terrible for Snyman, because I mean, when you hear you got this player coming, it's always the same. We've had it in all the provinces. There's all these bells and whistles, and you always know 6 months in advance this guy's coming, and there's all this buildup, and then there's the first game, and it's like, right, now we've had all the buildup, now show us what you can do. And then he does it, and then for that to happen, I mean, it's just I really don't know what to say.
And then obviously for Klein to come on and Klein to go back off, I mean, you know, before the end of the first half, our second row was Billy Holland and CJ Stander.
Yeah.
With Rory Scannell, you know, who's there to cover 10 and 12, packing down in the back row at 7.
I know. And that was a day when Leinster had an extra forward in reserve as well. So it was like, it was almost like Murphy's Law for his in terms of injuries. But still, just to endure all that and still come out with a 2-point, you know, loss, and, you know, looking ahead to this game, I mean, injuries aside, I mean, we'll see who comes in for you. But I mean, there must be some positives to have taken forward from that game.
Oh, there definitely were. We saw the beginnings of the Farrell Diallende partnership, and again, that's something that really came through this weekend. But you could see Chris Farrell is an amazing player, and you can see what having such a physical 12 there is allowing Farrell to do. He got man of the match. You know, he certainly was on my shortlist for man of the match. He had an outstanding game, and while Diallende didn't sparkle as much, he did an awful lot of stuff off the ball, did a lot of the hard work, and that was fantastic, because, you know, Farrell is an amazing talent. We have had other 12s, and Scannell, I mean, we can't take away from him. He is a very good 12, but certain players need a certain type of opposite. You know, the certain centre pairings are just magic. Mm-hmm. You had the Bod and Darcy, you have the Henshaw Ringrose. I don't know why I'm keep praising Leinster pairings, but these are,
I'll let you.
When you look at you know, when we had the New Zealanders, we just had fantastic strong centre pairings, and I think Diallende and Farrell is just magic.
Yeah, I think
I know I'm saying that after two games, but really, the signs are good, and provided they can both stay fit, I'm very, very positive. You know, Munster, an awful lot of the praise of Munster tends to be about the forwards, and we have some amazing, I mean, we have an amazing squad, really. Mm. But we have some superstars in our forwards, but it's very exciting, particularly in midfield, to see it being lit up again after some quieter times.
Definitely. And I think the key word there is pairings. It's, I mean, there's a lot of centre talent, and we've seen a lot of it from all the provinces over the weeks. But I think it was the way the 12s and the 13s were working together, I think, might have made a bit of a difference. Like you say, that they're like Diallende and Farrell, there was a great start for them, and they're only getting better. And after two matches, when they play together a few times, like I say, it's only going to go together. And I think what Leinster needed, one of the things Leinster needed on the day in that first match, was the Henshaw Ringrose pairing, that they know each other so well. Like you say, that this Diallende, and the other thing about Diallende that impressed me as well, is that it was a bit like James Lowe when he started playing against Munster. They came into this rivalry game ready to play. They know what it meant, and they were fired up for it. They knew to get themselves psyched up, ready to play for such an important event. I really got that from Diallende as well.
Absolutely. He's an exciting player to watch. And if he was fired up 2 weeks ago, I'm very much looking forward to seeing how fired up he is on Friday night.
Absolutely. And and also in that game, you had tries from your wingers, Conway and Earls. I mean, it's like you talk about the forwards, and then you had JJ starting, and you know, after all the problems you've had with the tens, and you got a good display out of him. Just in general, the whole back line is looking solid.
Yeah, I mean, it's very strange to be looking into a game and saying, actually, our back line that played Leinster was the same back line that played Connacht, and actually chances are it will be the same back line that will play on Friday night, because who would you take out? They are all flying. I mean, Shane Daly looks really settled. He really safe under the high ball, looking for the attack. He's defensively very good. He's still, you know, he's so young. And the fact that he's keeping Matt Gallagher out of the starting team is fascinating. I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing Gallagher, but it's great that Johan is keeping faith with Shane, because he has been our in-form 15, really, in the latter half of the season that was, you know, before the end of February. And again, the fact that he's gotten the two starts, Mike Haley is back training, obviously Gallagher is, but I really don't think Friday is the night to make any changes. So he would be the lesser known. I mean, Conway has for quite some time, in my opinion, and I'm going to be controversial, kind of, because I know Leinster have some okay wingers out there, but to me, Conway is one of, like, I would put him in the top two wingers in Ireland, and I think he has been overlooked terribly when it comes to Ireland. You know, anytime he has been selected or anytime he's come off the bench, he has just made such, he's worked so hard. He's gotten the scores that people weren't getting until he came on. He's such a strong player defensively. He's tactically, he's got a really good rugby brain. And I mean, two tries against Leinster, two tries against Connacht. He's on fire. As of course is Earls. I mean, I don't think there's a player on the field who puts more heart, more energy, more commitment to the game than Keith Earls, because we've seen it in the last two games. He really, really wants the win. He really wants to give everything, and he's popping up everywhere.
Definitely. And another thing that stands to Conway is that, like you say, he hasn't had as many opportunities as maybe he should have for Ireland. But like you say, when he does, he steps up and he still puts in the performance. I mean, that stands to him as well. You know, he takes his chance when he has it.
Yeah, and hopefully Andy Farrell will have seen that. And, you know, we've got an international heavy couple of months coming up. So hopefully Conway will get more game time.
Yeah, because I mean, I get asked all the time, oh, James Lowe's, you know, obviously, of course, he's going to start for Ireland. I get asked, and I said, no, that's not how it works. I mean, he's done really well in the Leinster setup, and he's done his thing. But it's, you know, Test rugby is literally a different ball game. And there's his style. It's great for Leinster rugby, even at European level. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to just slot into a Test setup, and where there's less space, where there's less chances to do things. And there, you know, there have been question marks about him. So there's no talk that he's just going to walk into the side, especially with so much talent around, like you say, not just from Leinster, but also the likes of Andrew Conway as well. But speaking of, he got a couple tries against Connor. Why don't we move on to that game now on Sunday? I cleared my schedule. I got everyone, kicked everyone out of the house on Sunday. I had the whole place to myself, sat myself down to Munster against Connacht, and then it looked like the thing was over after like 10-15 minutes with a couple of sendings. What did you make of the match as a whole?
It was bizarre. I mean, the Leinster match was bizarre because there was so much anticipation, and we had focused on on the two South Africans and what they were going to bring to the game, and then to lose Nyman and Klein and Kilcoyne so early, it threw the whole game plan. So to then come on to Sunday, and it was a bizarre game. I mean, when we talked 2 weeks ago, we talked about the referees' interpretations of the new laws, and how in Super Rugby in the Southern Hemisphere and in the Premiership, while the referees had talked and they had been giving penalties, the team penalties didn't come till 60 minutes or so into the game. But we saw a team yellow after 7 minutes on Sunday, which was, I suppose, we should have taken it as a sign that actually this is going to be a whistle-heavy game, and by God, was it.
I mean, I personally, I had no complaints about either red card. I mean, my view is the referee has to officiate as to what happens. I mean, you hear a lot of opinion. It's like, oh, but an early red card is going to ruin the game. It's no longer a contest. It's like, what? That's not what the referee is out there to do. The referee is out there to say, especially with all these guidelines and safety and anything above the neck, and you know, and those two challenges. Once he saw it on the replay, there was just no choice.
No, I mean, CJ Stander appears to be a marked man. Teams are obviously aware of what a threat he is. Yeah. I mean, CJ is in flying form. Another player who gives everything and who pops up all over the place. I mean, you know, he's at one end of the field and you blink and he's the other end, and he gets involved in everything, and he is such a talisman player for Munster. And you know, that red, it's when you looked at, I know there was no intent, it was clumsy technique, it was both of them really were, there was no malicious intent in either. It was brain not engaging. And that's lack of rugby in a lot of ways, and certainly with Papali'i, you know, coming from league to union, you've got to get your brain around how you do things, how things are refereed. And I must say, though, from a Munster point of view, I was very glad that we didn't have Papali'i and Aki on the pitch at the same time for very long. Because, I mean, Aki felt like he added not just the two players that went off, but about five more as well.
I know, because when I saw the lineup, because he was just added to the lineup at the last minute, wasn't he? And it was just that. I mean, that you normally, it's normally when you hear there's been a change and a name gets added to the bench, it's usually an academy player that you see getting added, just kind of thrown in there. 23 might get his first cap or something, but when someone like Bundy Ekier, you're like, oh, Jesus, he's going to make an impact the second he comes on the pitch, and it turned out to be a lot sooner than anyone expected.
Fantastic player to bring on, and you know, physically and as a player, he you know, while he is a centre, he fit right into that back row, and popped up in an awful lot of traditionally forward positions as well as covering centre. I mean, he is an amazing player, and what Andy Friend was saying about how fired up he was coming back into rugby, it's certainly, we definitely saw that on Sunday.
Absolutely.
For me, what I was surprised at, obviously, Connacht were down to 13 men, and you know, the scoreboard was racking up, and Connacht got a penalty. The clock had gone red for the end of the first half. And what really surprised me and shows the heart that Connacht had was, rather than just kick it out, let's end this torturous first half, let's go in, let's regroup, let's see what we can do to cover those gaps where we're down the players. No, they kicked it down the pitch, and ultimately that's what led to the Aki try about 7 minutes later.
Yeah, that was they definitely didn't throw in the towel as much as they could have. And it would have been interesting, you know, the way the Super Rugby Aotearoa has this new law where if you get a red card, you can replace the player after 20 minutes, sort of like the black card in GAA. So it would have been interesting in that game. You would have had Connacht back up to a full complement almost by halftime. or shortly after the second half. So I wasn't crazy about that rule myself. I think if you get a red, it should be a red no matter what time it is. But it would have been interesting if that had happened. But anyway, listen, that's Connacht's side of the ball. For what Munster had to play with, I mean, you might have preferred a game against 15 for the full 80 minutes, but what you've had, you've managed it well. And you were already ahead when the first red card went in. You had good dominance at the scrum. You got a penalty try. So overall, how do you think things were going for Munster?
I think we went on from the Leinster game. As I mentioned earlier, we saw the centre pair shine even more. We saw more of De Allende, we saw more of his aggression, his physicality. It was fantastic to see Ty Byrne back. He had a fantastic game, and you know, our scrum was working really well. Our line out, we have 100% line out rating from the two games, really, really strong. And we also saw, improved performances from, say, Niall Scannell against Leinster was a little bit anonymous. There was a couple of knock-ons around him. I'm not certain if he actually knocked it on, but I thought the difference, you know, again, playing more rugby had on his performance. I thought he had a fantastic performance on Sunday. And, you know, we made some changes because obviously we had to. And I think it gave Johan a great chance to see kind of where we were with Friday in mind. And I still think seven is an interesting to see. Chris Clote, we talked about him in terms of, do you play him because penalties are going to be given away anyway. I saw some talk that he was lucky not to get a yellow card, but he didn't.
Yeah.
He's
the only one on the pitch who didn't, but pretty much.
Yeah. But, you know, he's certainly, for me, seven is probably the only position that isn't totally nailed down for Friday. So he certainly put it up to Johan to see what he can do. He had some fantastic supporting roles in lineouts. He made some breaks. His tackle rate was fantastic. So it was good to see him back, and again to see that back row, which, you know, hopefully will be a Peter O'Mahony, CJ Stander plus another. So to see the options, and also, you know, we emptied the bench. We finished with 14 players because it was 5 minutes to go. You know, the game was well won, and it was better to not risk Dielende, because two injured South Africans is bad enough. But I think that was really good. We saw Jack O'Sullivan come on, another really promising young player. So there was a lot to take out of Sunday, and also to be very glad that we don't have Frank Murphy refereeing on Friday night.
Yeah, it's Mr. Brace again. That will definitely be interesting. So looking ahead to Friday now, someone was asking me, like, oh, what kind of team are Leinster going to put out? And all I could think of was, I mean, you never know, but all I'm thinking is they're looking ahead to the Saracens match, and they want to get this is as good a game as you're going to get to prepare for that. So he'll want as close to his strongest 15 out for this anyway. So with that in mind, what way do you think Munster are going to be approaching this?
I think we're going to see a Munster 15 that looks almost identical to the 15 that played at Connacht on Sunday. As I say, seven, I'm a big fan of Jack O'Donoghue. I thought he has played well. He offers a lot, and he's not, I don't want to call Clute a liability, but he's a steadier player. And the question is, we're going to have Jack and Clute. The question is going to be which one starts. But I think our backline stays the same. are 6 and 8 stay the same. Again, there's a little bit of a talk about who partners Tigburn in the second row. I would certainly prefer to see Johnny's good friend Finnean start with Billy to come off the bench. I thought Finnean had a great game on Sunday, and I thought, again, talking about partnership, I thought he worked really well with Byrne in the second row. So I'd like to see him, but I do understand that, you know, Billy's work rate is phenomenal. He's great in the line out. I can understand why he might go with him, but I actually think to start Finnean and Tig with Billy on the bench.
Yeah. And when it comes to approaching it, do you think they will need to like come out the gates, and would it be important to build up a lead in the early stages, or do you think it's going to be a question of maybe the two sides feeling each other out, maybe for the first half kind of thing?
You know, when you look at the game 2 weeks ago, Munster dominated possession. They dominated territory. It was finishing that we failed. So we had, 55% possession, 61% territory. Mm-hmm. But we were hit on turnovers, we were hit on knock-ons. I do think we need to get points on the board and to try and build up a lead. But I'm very mindful of the Leinster-Northampton Heineken Cup final that, you know, you could have 100 points on the board and that doesn't guarantee you anything against Leinster.
All it takes is Johnny to say a few words in the dressing room and it's a whole different ball game.
But listening to Graham Rowntree today, you know, there's an awful lot of talking about our record against Leinster, particularly our record against Leinster in Pro 14 or Pro 12 semi-finals. But there is no reason. We have very talented players. We have very committed players. We have fit players. There is no reason that we shouldn't win it. You know, why not us and why not now?
Yep. Look,
Leinster are a great team, but it's how you play on the day, how you play on the night, how things go for you. I mean, we came so close 2 weeks ago, and there was that kick that didn't go over, but you know, while there was a missed conversion, there were other missed opportunities, and it wouldn't be fair to dwell on that. But I believe in this team. Mm-hmm. I am, you know, I'm perfectly okay to have lost to Leinster 2 weeks ago if we can beat them on Friday night. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, just from my perspective, before, like, this is on a Tuesday now, before we get into the partisan end of the week stuff, just looking ahead to the game, I wouldn't be surprised if the bookies have Leinster as tight favourites, just based
Leinster
on record, whatever.
Plus 10, yeah. I think.
Yeah, I mean, they had 9 for that game a couple of weeks ago. I thought that was crazy. You couldn't go by the record from back in March. I mean, this is Leinster against Munster. You had the break. You didn't know how it was going to go, and it turned out to be a lot closer. But I suppose we'll wait and see what the lineups look like. But Leinster will be favourites, but anyone who thinks it couldn't go the other way is just fooling themselves. Like you say, it's not just Munster's ability, but it's the determination. It's the amount of times they've got to this stage and fallen before. It's the kind of thing that motivates you. We know a little bit about falling at semifinals in games like this from the past as well. So it's something. There's enough who went through that as well in that dressing room that would be able to spread it around.
No, you were going to say it'd be great to see Munster winning. I know.
I was that close. I was that close, but you didn't trick me in your web of words.
It's in the best interest of rugby. Surely.
Oh yes, of course, for the game as a whole,
Irish rugby.
It's like that Bank of Ireland ad. We're 4 provinces. We want them all to win every game. Every game to be a draw, and everyone on the island is happy. Listen, it should be a really good game. Thanks for coming on and sharing all that. Now I have a piece of paper here in front of me that says Lions plug. apparently you want to you want to get a little shout out.
Well, by the time this goes out, the Lions tours will have gone on sale. They go on sale at 9 a.m. on Wednesday. And I mean, I've done a lot of rugby travel. I've done a lot of independent travel around the world, but obviously I did New Zealand. I did the full Lions tour in 2017 with Rugby Travel Ireland, and you've seen the blogs.
Yep.
I'm not shy about saying how brilliant they were.
I'll put a link to them again in the program notes. Michelle wrote a load of great pieces for us while she was on tour, and hopefully we might get a few more this time around as well.
Well, it's been a very tough time. I mean, it's been a very tough time for a lot of companies, but if you think that a rugby travel company where they would have, you know, they would have had club tours, school tours, there would have been the outstanding Six Nations would have had hospitality, Rugby Travel Ireland or Munster's travel partner. So like the summer tour, like their business for the last couple of months would have been largely issuing refunds and not a lot on the horizon. And the great thing about the Lions tours, as I mentioned the last time, is the official agent, licensed agents, which Rugby Travel Ireland are the Lions' official partner agent in Ireland. Their tours are 100% protected. So if anything happens and the tour doesn't go ahead, your money is safe. There isn't going to be the rigmarole chasing airlines and hope, you know, waiting months and months and months. So, the full tour this time is called the Giraffe Tour because it's long.
It's not that you're sticking your neck out by going.
No, but they have lots of options.
Yeah.
The people who had traveled before do get a sneak preview of the packages. And if anyone is thinking of going, I just highly recommend booking with Rugby Travel Ireland.
Well, I don't think there's any better advertisement. It's a big layout, but it's a great event and it's a big layout. But the fact that you and a big group of people all went to New Zealand, and despite all that's happened since, all the uncertainty with regards traveling, here's the day. We've come to the day when it's time to book your tickets and yous are all going again. I think that's a big testimony to that. So what I'll do is I'll put a link to that page as well in the program notes if anyone wants to click on there and check it out. That definitely looks like it's going to be a great trip next year. Well, listen, that was great. That was a great old chat. Now, listen, Deb, I'll say best of luck for the end of the week. That's as far as I'm going to go. And also hoping it's a good game as well. It's a shame again.
No injuries.
We have to watch it. No injuries, indeed. Fingers, everything, toes, eyes, everything crossed for no injuries. We'll see how it turns out. The season just starts again in just a few weeks after that. So I'm no doubt we'll be having you on again sooner rather than later to talk about the next contest. But listen, thanks for coming on. And for offering your views, and sure, we'll talk to you again. Thanks, Michelle.
Great. Thanks for having me, Jeff.
No problem. Thanks for sticking with us right to the end, and thanks again to Michelle for the chat. And like I said, you can find all the relevant links in the program notes. Later in the week on Thursday, we have the team announcement for Leinster v Munster. Then that evening, we'll have our list of upcoming rugby on Irish TV. Friday lunchtime, we'll post our preview, and I hope you'll join the post-match discussion on our Facebook page right after the full-time whistle. In the meantime, enjoy your rugby and stay safe, everyone. Slán.